From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Georgia has the nation's third largest rural school population, but most rural high school students will not go on to larger universities once they graduate. In schools like Emory and Georgia Tech, 75 to 80% of students come from the urban areas. So what's keeping students from small towns from enrolling? Well, we're talking more about advising rural students with Marjorie Posse. She's an advisor and counselor for Pickens High School. Hello, Marjorie.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. Also with us is a student who did go to a big, in fact, really big university after graduating from the rural area of Dawsonville, Georgia. Hannah Velcroft is here with us. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Marjorie, you first. You've been a counselor for 21 years. Have you noticed a change in the number of students who choose community or technical colleges in over the big universities or colleges?
Well, I think numbers are on the rise where students at smaller schools, smaller rural area high schools, going to schools like Georgia and Georgia Tech and Georgia State. But at the same time, since the recession, I think some of our students and parents are getting a little bit more money savvy and thinking, how can I stretch my dollar the furthest? And I think that is one of the big factors into why they're choosing some community colleges or technical colleges and then transferring on to larger schools.
And this is no knock at all on community or technical colleges, but just really interested in that phenomenon, right?
Well, I think with the HOPE scholarship, when students have a 3.0 academic average, they can go and it will pay up to 90% of the class ahead of them. Like if you were a senior this year, the freshman classes, their tuition. So when students don't quite make that HOPE GPA, they can go to a technical college and use the HOPE grant, and it pays about the same amount of money, so they stretch their dollar a whole lot more.
Well, let's talk about dollars here. How much of your student body would you say is financially strained, let's put it that way?
Well, different school systems have different numbers for their free and reduced lunch monies, but I would imagine that I work with students that are in the 50 percentile of free and reduced students that get that lunchroom benefit. So when students are in that category, money does make a difference, but I think even with most families today, how to spend money. Even some of my students that look at going to out-of-state schools, I've encouraged them to stay in-state and look at Georgia's honors program or different things and then go out-of-state for graduate work.
Well, in rural counties, there's also a tradition of, you know, people staying on to work with their parents, work the farm. Is there pressure, do you think, that students think that they should be working instead to help parents pay the bills?
Well, I don't know so much about pressure, but I do know there's a huge need. I interviewed some students before we had some scholarship interviews. We did mock interviews this year at Pickens High School. And one student shared with me, since he was an eighth grader, he's worked after school to help pay family bills. And he is a varsity soccer player. He graduated with honors. And he's going on to school, but he chose Kennesaw as a school to go to.
Do the students that you speak to, do they think they're going to be able to go to college? I mean, we hear an awful lot about the exorbitant amount of money and loans taken out for college. Is that part of the thinking?
I think you're right going down that path. What we've tried to do at the schools where I've worked is say everybody has the opportunity to go. You don't have to go in a straight line from point A to point B. You can start off at a smaller setting and then transfer over. But at this day and age, every student needs some type of post-secondary education, whether it's through workforce, on-the-job training, some type of internship, or even going into the military. You need some extra training than just what you get in high school.
When we're talking about the difference in the sort of cultural changes from rural counties, we did ask one student from Dawson County High School, her name is Miranda Abby, about going straight from her small high school to the University of Georgia.
It was kind of surreal and eye-opening. I didn't realize how small Dawson County was until I got to Athens and made friends. And just to see true diversity that really wasn't prevalent in Dawson County.
Hannah Velcroft, you went straight from Dawson County High School to New York University, which is a huge school right in the middle of New York City. Did you notice that real change? And, you know, suddenly Dawson County seemed very small.
Absolutely. I think in Dawson County, everything was black and white, and in the sense that everyone sort of had the same viewpoints there, and it felt like it was us against them, Whereas when you go to New York, there's so much gray area and people from all over the world speaking different languages, and you're sort of immersed in this pool of so many different people and things you've never been, you know, open to.
Why did you choose NYU?
I grew up in Dawson County as a liberal Jew and sort of felt like I was out of place and didn't really belong. And so I wanted to do a complete 180 and go somewhere completely different and sort of challenge myself.
So you were getting away?
Yes.
Did you feel prepared, though, to leave Dawson County and go to New York City?
I thought I was. You know, I think no one had ever even applied to NYU when I did, and it was this huge shock in the school, honestly.
No one in your school?
That I know of, absolutely no. I mean, my year, I think maybe 4 or 5 people actually went out of state for college. So when I went, it was just this huge change logistically, culturally. It just sort of smacked you in the face.
Marjorie, do you think rural students need a different kind of on-ramp or encouragement?
Well, I think it depends on the student. This year, my valedictorian's going to Columbia in New York, but I find myself just as excited for another student who's considering, she didn't quite make the Hope Scholarship to go to a technical college to get that first year under her belt, and then if she leaves with a 3.0, we'll go on with the Hope Scholarship. But I think that sometimes it's a small setting. Both school systems are kind of smaller ponds. It's hard to jump out of a really small setting into a huge setting.
Marjorie Paas there. She's a student counselor at Pickens High School currently. And Hannah Velkoff is also with us, 2013 graduate from Dawson County High School who went on to NYU. We're talking about rural students and the kind of choices they make for colleges and universities. Hannah, tell me about that. You know, did you have anxieties about this transition? Did you feel like an outsider?
I felt like an outsider growing up, and then I also felt like an outsider in New York. In a lot of my classes, I became the token Southerner. There were actually, I remember a discussion when I was studying abroad, and we were talking about students going into workforce training programs after high school, and no one had ever heard of that as an option for students. And I was the one who was able to talk about that because I came from, you know, that world.
Huh. Well, I mean, college for a new student is anxiety provoking in many ways. You've left your home. There's this strangeness. You're in this new place, which can also, of course, offer a lot of opportunity. But how did that feel to you? I mean, how did you do with that emotionally?
It was terrifying. I had some hard times. You know, you feel like you're really alone. You feel like you're sort of an adult living in a bubble at NYU. You don't really have the college setting. There was no campus. I didn't do anything with the school. I got internships, and I did a lot of things outside of the school, but I really didn't have that community there. And I wasn't prepared for that. And so it was definitely a hard transition. And I ultimately came back to Georgia.
But you did graduate from college at NYU.
I graduated early, yeah.
Right. And you moved back to – so why did you return back to Georgia after graduating from NYU?
I still felt like there was a part of me that belonged in the South. And so I'm now in Atlanta, and Atlanta feels like a really good halfway point for me. You get the culture and you get the diversity, but it also is a little bit slower, and it's a little bit homey.
So, Marjorie, this is, you know, we're talking about the culture of being in another place. But how about income? I want to go back to that. What advice do you give to students who come from low-income families and they do wish to go to a big university?
Well, a lot of it is plan, plan, plan. Start your freshman year. Every class that you take counts. And try to go ahead and look at opportunities. Our Georgia Student Finance Commission offers all kinds of opportunities. I think a lot of students start off at a middle school, like not necessarily a community college, but a school like Kennesaw, North Georgia, West Georgia, and think, oh, I'll transfer on to a larger university, and they fall in love with that school. But a lot of the planning has to be on the student's, I guess, mindset, because whatever student loans they occur during that time, they're going to have to pay. So when we talk to high school students from their freshman year, we start to say, make those plans now. Stretch your dollar as far as you can, because it can mean the difference if you have $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 of college debt in buying a first home, buying a brand new car, buying a condominium. So education in Georgia is excellent, but pick the school by the program that you're choosing.
But do you think there are other factors besides financing and planning that feel intimidating or prohibitive when it comes to college?
Absolutely. I think sometimes students leaving high school, going to a larger university, might consider going in the summertime before everybody shows up for football season. Part of it is just getting opportunities outside of your household to see, am I the kind of student who is going to thrive in a large classroom when I'm used to having about 30 students in a classroom?
Well, we know,
sometimes you just have to take those chances. Summer programs for students to get out there and look at colleges. We encourage our students to start looking. Their sophomore and junior, senior years, go on college visits. Walk around with a student. Ask questions.
Do universities target students from the high schools where you've counseled when it didn't involve sports?
Yes, I think some students that have been extremely high academically or very strong in the arts, that there's all kinds of opportunities. Plus, I think schools are looking for diversity, not just in the way we look, but the areas we come from, that all students have something to add to a college setting. But at the same time, colleges need to woo those students. We've got some super students in smaller settings that can make a huge difference on college campuses.
I guess the question is how they would find each other, these schools and universities. And especially in rural Georgia, there's an increasing immigrant population. And you're probably dealing with a lot of people who are first-generation Americans and first-generation college students. Do they have different needs?
Yes, ma'am. And taking students to probe fairs, helping students with like the Quest Scholarship. There's different scholarship programs, that's hard to say early in the morning, for students that they can go ahead and kind of profile themselves, put together a profile of where they want to go, what they'd like to do, and colleges can start to send information to them about schools or even scholarship opportunities.
Do you think some students just flat out think, you know, this is out of my league, I won't get accepted?
I think sometimes they do, and I think sometimes students will even sabotage themselves when it comes to graduating from high school. I think they'll stop and think, I know what goes on here. I'm not sure about the next step. I'm not sure if I want to leave this high school setting. I've been very successful here and go on out into the world. At that point, old counselors like myself will say, push, pull, or drag. You're going to go. We want to see them not only graduate, but walk into a career that will make them happy so they can come back and be a contributing member not only to their community, but to themselves.
And that's what you did, Hannah. You went away. You came back. Would you advise other students from your town, other graduates, to go on to a big school?
I think so. I think there are a lot of barriers. I think if you don't think it's the right thing for you, then don't. But if you're curious, get out there. I think that there's so much to see, and keeping your place in the same place all the time, I don't think is, you know, helpful.
Would you make the same choice that you made knowing what you know now?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Hannah Velkoff, a graduate from a rural high school in Georgia. She went straight off to university in New York City. Thank you so much for speaking with
Thank
us.
You.
I'm also speaking with Marjorie Paas. She's a student counselor at Pickens County High School. Thank you so much, Marjorie, for speaking with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks so much for the work that you do.